I'll stand.
Okay.
I kind of like to stand first. So we heard from the panel. I want you to reflect. So do you think Buddy and Rachel's relationship is normal?
Normal?
No. Normal. Do you think it's normal? Good question, Mark. That's a very good question. How about this? Do you think that their relationship is healthy?
No.
And how do you know? Their attitude. All right. There's a passage that many bride and grooms have asked us to read in their wedding ceremonies. And in this passage, it describes the characteristics of a healthy marriage according to God's standards. So I want to invite you to find a Bible. If you don't have one, there's a table right there, right by that pole. And turn with me in your Bible to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. I'm going to start reading at verse 21. If you're using one of those black Bibles, I forgot to look up the page number. 829? 829. See, look at that page. Very helpful. Poor communication skills right there. All right. Ephesians 5. Begin at verse 21. Here Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, and to us here this morning, he says, "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about church. I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband."
Marriage relationships, like all of our other relationships, need certain things in order to be healthy. And in our text for today, Paul urges those who are married in this church of Ephesus to include three things in their relationships so that their marriage relationships will be healthy and thriving. The first thing that Paul encourages them to have is submission. Submit to one another, he says. Now, what exactly does that word submit mean? Another word for submit could be yield. Now, has anyone recently started driving out there? Are you in driver's ed or just practicing on the road a little bit? Jared, that's not you yet.
Jared.
What happens when you're driving along the road and you get to a yield sign? What are you supposed to do? Supposed to let the other car go first, right? What happens if you're driving along the road and you see a yield sign and you think, "I don't want to yield"? Right? Crash. Accident. Problems. Submit or yield to one another, Paul says. In order for our relationships and our marriage relationships to be healthy, there cannot be this sense of a power struggle at the center of it. Marriage relationships do not thrive when one person is always giving and one person is always taking. It doesn't work when Buddy just stares at the TV while his wife begs him to please come help in the kitchen. But why? Why does Paul say that it is so important to submit to one another? He says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Because Christ has submitted himself to the cross, which is like the most ultimate submission ever. Because of our deepest respect that we have for that, then we take that submission and we live it out in our own lives. How did Jesus submit? He submitted to the cross. He put us first and himself second. He submitted so much that he laid down his life for us, like it says in Philippians 2. Jesus provides us with the perfect example of submission, to completely humble ourselves, to put aside entitlement issues, in order to do that which is best for others. Healthy submission, based on Christian principles, follow Jesus' example of submission. So wives, my question to you is this. How are you submitting to your husbands? How are you yielding yourself? And husbands, my question to you is this. How are you submitting to your wife? How are you yielding to her? And if you are not married, I have a question for you. How do you model Jesus' submission when it comes to your relationships with your family and with your friends?
The second thing a healthy Christian marriage needs, Paul says, is love. In English, the word love is what my mom would term a multi-meaning word. Depending on its context in English, it can mean a host of things. Remember in the skit? Buddy emailed Rachel and he typed this.
Nope.
There it is. Hey. Took me a while to figure out what that said, because I don't do a lot of texting, but I figured it out. It says, I love you. Yeah, how about that, eh? I love you, he says. When Buddy emailed this to Rachel, what do you think Buddy was trying to say? We aren't sure, because we don't necessarily know the context in which he was saying it. The Greeks, they had three different words for love. And because they had three words, it clarifies the type of love that they're talking about when they say, I love you. The first word was eros. Eros refers to romantic or sexual love. Our English word erotic is derived from this word. The second word is philos. And this refers to a close friendship or a brotherly love. The type of love you'd have with your best friend. There's a city in Pennsylvania that's named after this word. You know which city that is? Philadelphia, right? The city of brotherly love. That's right. The third word for love that the Greeks had was agape. The essence of agape love is self-sacrifice. So tell me, which of these three types of love do you think Paul uses here in Ephesians 5 when he says, husbands, love your wives? Which word does he use? Agape. That's right. The answer is agape. Agape love is unique and it's distinguished by its nature and its character. Agape love loves others sacrificially. Jesus gave us the parable of the Good Samaritan as an example of the sacrifice for the sake of others, even those who may care nothing for us in return. They may even hate us, as the Jews did the Samaritans. Sacrificial love is not based on a feeling, but it's a determined act of the will. It's a joyful resolve to put the welfare of others above your own. And that's what set it apart from the other two. Eros love, right? It comes and it goes. Sometimes we're romantically attracted to our spouse, and other times we're not. Right? They talk about being in the mood. Right? The mood can go up and it can go down. Right? You try and set the mood to build it up. But it's determined, right? It can, kid comes in the room, pukes on you, and then there it goes, right? Down. Right? There's things that get in the way of it. Right? Fill us, right? The love we have for our friends, right? Who may be sitting nearby. Right? One day we really like them, right? Because they spoke well of us. The next day they stab us in the back. Right? Where did the love go? Right? How can I get, right? We want, right? It comes and it goes. You guys are still hung up on the romantic one, I know. Right? Those two, though, those two types of love, up, down, dependent upon circumstances. Okay? And there's agape, different. Husbands, love your wives with agape love. In sickness and in health, for richer or for poorer, right? And for better or for worse. Wives, agape love your husbands. It's not conditional, right? It's not based on the mood, right? Or the circumstances. It's a big difference. Paul says husbands are to love their wives. How? Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So I ask you again, how did Christ love the church? How did he give himself up for her? What were the conditions surrounding that love? If it was dependent upon the other two, were we a best friend? Or did we stab Jesus in the back? Are we often very lovable? Sometimes we are, but sometimes we're not. Jesus loves us with an agape love, right? An unconditional love. He says, Paul says, we are to love our spouses the same way. In order for that marriage relationship to thrive and to be healthy, each person must lay their life down and love the other one sacrificially, Paul says. So husbands, how are you sacrificially loving your wife? And wives, how are you sacrificially loving your husband? If you're not married, how can you sacrificially love your coworkers, your neighbors, and your friends?
And then Paul says, wives, respect your husbands. The final thing that we need in these relationship marriages, in order for them to be healthy and thriving, is respect. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. I had to throw that in for Regina because she sang last week, and I was like,
That's
right. To respect, to hold something in high esteem, to honor something, to show regard or to show consideration for. In the clip we saw, how could Rachel have respected her husband? How could Buddy have respected his wife? We respect our spouses by speaking well of them, no matter which company we're in, no matter what audience we have. Do we always speak well of our spouse? We respect our spouses by reserving time for them Things get busy. We have our own agendas. But do we make time for our spouses? We respect our friends and family in much of the same way. We make time for them as well. We respect our spouses by making an effort to have good communication. I can't know what Henry's thinking unless he tells me, and he doesn't know what I'm thinking either, he says. We respect our spouses by making time, by putting an effort into having good communication. Healthy relationships, and especially marriage relationships, are characterized by submission, by sacrificial love, and by respect. We learn best how to act this way by following Jesus' example, his submission that led him to leave his Father's side in heaven and to come to earth, to take on the characteristics of a human being, to live in this broken and sinful and hurtful place. He submitted to the will of his Father. And then Jesus modeled for us sacrificial love by going on that cross and sacrificing his own life, knowing that that was the only way that the price for our sins was going to be paid. He modeled that sacrificial love for us. And throughout his life on earth, Jesus modeled for this respect. He respected every single person he came into contact with, whether they were of high standing or low standing, whether they were like him or not like him, whether people liked them or people didn't like them. He showed us that respect. And he loved those people so much that he died on the cross for them. You know, each time we celebrate communion together, we remember this. We remember what it means to submit. We remember what it means to have sacrificial love. We remember what it means to respect. And then the night before he was betrayed, Jesus sat down at a meal with his good friends, the disciples. And he said to them, "I have been teaching you a lot, but of all I've taught you, this is what I really, really want you to remember, and this is how you're going to remember it. When you come together," he said, "take a glass of wine." And he said, "This is my blood poured out for you for the forgiveness of many sins, for all of your sins." And he said, "Take the bread." And he said, "Remember that this broken bread is my body. It has been broken for you." The ultimate act of submission and sacrificial love. And then Paul comes here to the church in Ephesus and to the church today. And he says, you too should have this attitude of submission, of sacrificial love, and respect. And so today when we take communion, when we remember the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, when we remember that our sins have been forgiven, when we take and eat and drink, and remember these things, we're also going to be living out that act of submission to one another. If you are married here this morning, I invite you to one of the four tables and to take the juice and the cracker and to serve your spouse, both as an act of submission to your spouse and in remembrance of the submission that Jesus has for you. And if you're not married here this morning, I invite you to come to the table and to find a friend, to find somebody around you, to find somebody you're sitting next to right now and to serve them. Because the command to submit and to have sacrificial love doesn't stop if you're not married. It's for all of us. He invites all of us to have that attitude. And so in a minute after I pray, the band is going to come up and start playing. And I invite you to come to one of these four tables and to remember Jesus' submission and sacrificial love for us this morning. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we come before you today. And we know that we too often think so highly of ourselves that we think we're entitled to certain things. And that leads to trouble in our relationships. We forget, Lord, that you submitted first. And that out of reverence to you, you call us to submit as well. And so, Lord, we pray especially for the marriages in our church here this morning. Because, Lord, it's not easy. It's not easy to have your attitude of submission. It's not easy to have your sacrificial love. But we pray, Lord, that you will fill these marriages with those things. We pray, Lord, that you will instill in us a sense of what you have done for us so that we can live that out and especially show that to our spouses. Lord, we pray for a hedge of protection around these marriages as they are bombarded each and every day by so many things that can get them off track. Lord, we pray for them, that you will surround them with your love. And Lord, we pray for all of us here this morning. As we, in all of the relationships that we have, whether that's with our friends or our family or our coworkers or our neighbors or our relatives, Lord, we pray that you will teach us what it means to submit and to have love and respect in each one of those relationships too. Lord, as we take communion this morning, may your Holy Spirit be present, living and working in our hearts and in our relationships. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
deep the Father's love.